Sitting and being fully engaged by the various senses and modes of nature, experiences the various results of certain birth.
Translation, please repeat. The material senses create material activities.
The material senses create material
activities. Either pious or sinful.
Either pious or sinful.
And the modes of nature.
And the modes of nature.
Set the material senses into motion.
Set the material senses into motion.
The living entity.
The living entity.
Being fully engaged by the material senses.
Being fully engaged by the material senses.
And modes of nature.
And modes of nature.
Experiences.
Experiences.
The various results of fruitive work. It has been explained in the previous verses that the living energy under the control of fruitive activity is pushed down into a hellish condition of life. In this verse, the exact nature of the living entity's dependence on fruitive activities is described. One can observe that one's activities are performed by the material senses, and that the living entity himself is merely conscious of such activities. One may be worshipping the demigods, enjoying sex or performing agricultural or intellectual activities, but in all cases, the material senses are performing the work. One may argue that the spirit soul initiates the activities of the senses and thus is the ultimate doer, but such false egotism is negated in this verse by the statement Gunaha Srijanti Karmani Guno Anusrijate Gunan. The three modes of nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, stimulate the functions of the material senses and the living entity. Coming under the control of a particular mode of nature merely experiences the good and bad results of his work. This does not negate the concept of free will, since the living entity chooses to associate with different modes of nature. By one's eating, speaking, sexual activities, occupation, etc., one associates with various modes of nature and acquires a particular mentality. But in all cases, the modes of nature themselves are acting, not the living entity. The word asava in this verse indicates that the living entity falsely considers himself to be the performer of work carried out by nature. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3.27, Prakriti Kriyamanani Gunaya Karmani Sarvasa Ahankar Vimuratma Kartaha Mati Manyati. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities, which are in actuality carried out by nature. The conditioned soul can be liberated simply by giving up this false egoistic conception of life and taking to the devotional service of the Lord, by which the living entity or marginal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead escapes the disturbing influence of the external potency called Maya. In the devotional service of the Lord, the liberated entity realizes its actual form of eternity, knowledge and bliss. It is natural to perform activities with the desire to achieve a good result. The best results, however, can be attained by one who engages in the devotional service of the Lord, with a desire to be reinstated in his constitutional position as the Lord's loving servant. In this way, the tendency to exploit one's activities for a particular result can be purified. Then the modes of nature and the material senses will no longer engage the living entity in delusion. The living entity is by nature blissful, and when its illusion ceases, all suffering comes to an end. The liberated soul is then fit to reside in Vaikuntha, the kingdom of God. Om Agyanati Venamatya Agyananjanashila Pya Chakshu Urvindamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karavi Vajvam Pangam Nangadi Gurim Yat Kripa Tanam Amin Shri Guru Vinadhanika Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Dhanada Shri Vasudhi Gaurava Kavindya Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Ram. The material senses create material activities, either pious or sinful, and the modes of nature set the material senses into motion. The living entity, being fully engaged by the material senses and modes of nature, experiences the various results of fruitive work. So, this verse talks about the senses, the modes of nature and the living entity. how they all are interacting. This is this verse in Bhagavad Gita 13:22. Purusha Prakriti Sohi Pungte Prakriti Jan Gunam Karanam Guna Sangosya Sad Asad Yoni Janmasu. Which Krishna says that the living entity, material nature, follows the ways of life and enjoying the three modes of material nature. And this is basically due to his association with him. And thus he enjoys, he meets with various kinds of good and evil. So we see the in the spiritual world, the only enjoyer is Krishna. And everyone else is to be enjoyed by Krishna. So no matter all the expansions of Krishna, you know, they all are to be enjoyed by Krishna. They all are serving Krishna. Like you can even see Lord Balaram, the first expansion of Krishna, is serving Krishna in different ways. Like becomes the paraphernalia and so on like that. So they all are serving Krishna. And all the living entities there, they are also serving Krishna. In that way they are being enjoyed by Krishna. And Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. So Krishna is the center of all activities there. So the cause of the jivas coming to the material world is that they want to become the enjoyer. And they want others to be enjoyed by them. So the example is of just like, you know, sometimes people start up, so like there's a master and a servant, you know, there's a servant under the master, he's working for him, but then after a while he decides to be the master, so he splits, you know, he ventures out, he thinks, okay, now I'll take his position. Or like, you know, sometimes people start a business venture together, like a joint venture, and then one ventures out, you know, and starts his own thing. Or like even we see in some many spiritual organizations, they start with, you know, one leader, but then many others branch out. So the basic principle is that one wants to become big in this world. So because the tendency of the jiva is to be the enjoyer, that's why it comes to this material world. So it says purusha prakritista, being situated in this. The purusha is situated in this material world simply because of the desire to be the enjoyer. And we can see that, like, you know, in the world, like everybody is trying to become big, you know, like to become a big businessman or big leader or, you know, big this or big that. Everyone is trying to become the controller. So that way one can become the enjoyer. So in, or like, you know, people becoming ministers, politicians, so they can get so much control through that. So the basic principle is that to become the enjoyer, to become big. So we see that, you know, sometimes people achieve all these big positions, but it doesn't, quite often they get frustrated. Because, you know, like, especially if you become big, the threefold miseries, they attack you even more. It's like if somebody becomes a big politician, for him, the miseries caused by other living entities will cause him more trouble. Because if you become big, everybody is after you, you know. They want things from you. It's like, if you're a very rich man, you know, people want wealth from you. Their relationships, they change. So, you know, just like, you know, with Michael Jackson, like he became so rich and he died at the age of 50. So it's even very hard to have a relationship with someone, normal relationship, because you don't know what is their motivation in approaching you. So we can see, like, then the threefold miseries even become more acute. Just like when terrorists, they you know, they attack various cities. If they kill a big leader, that is like a, you know, that is like an achievement. So they're very happy. So we see all the achievements in this world, you know, no matter what we get, they actually don't solve the basic problems. They don't solve the threefold miseries. So the threefold miseries, you know, they actually get more and more acute. So and when they get frustrated like this, then sometimes people they come up with this idea that they want to merge in God and they want to become God. So that is also the same disease, you know, it is as actually what might work, because they're frustrated in that way, so they say, okay, now we'll become God, you know, by merging into Him. So there are so many spiritual paths which lead your way. You do this, you know, you'll become God. So you'll realize you're God, as if you have forgotten. So that is the same thing. That is, again, the basic principle is to want to enjoy, you know, separately. So that's the same thing. It's the same thing, but it's like pseudo spirituality. So what causes the jiva to be here? That is simply the misuse of freedom. Described. So because of the free will, the jiva is here, and because of the free will, it can be liberated. So in the material world, basically everyone is situated against their true nature. The true nature of the jiva is to be the servant of Krishna. So in the material world, everyone is acting like the master. So if we have too many masters, there will be a problem. Eventually there will be a problem. You know? It's like throwing a stone, so many people are throwing stones in a pond. And so if you throw stones in different parts of the pond, it will create ripples, you know, and they all will collide with each other. So naturally there will be conflict. You know, the resources of this world are limited and everyone is thinking, I'm the center of this universe. And you know, naturally, as Burjan Babu was explaining it, this person thinks I'm the center, that person thinks, everyone thinks, you know, naturally there will be problems. But if the center is Krishna, then naturally all problems are solved. So, you know, and actually Prabhupada would propagate his peace formula that actually Krishna is the center. And if everyone recognizes that and serves Krishna, then naturally all the problems will be solved. So in this material world, everyone is acting like a master, against their nature. And that's why there is so much exploitation. It's like, you know, many students, they tell me, like, specifically, like, students who come from abroad, they say how they are being exploited so much these days. Like, they are made to work for 2-3 weeks or months even, and they don't get paid. Like, you know, like marketing, this or that. You would have a lot of experience, make friends. So, you know, this, because everyone is thinking the master, so themselves is the master, so they are exploiting others. So we see that actually when everyone thinks themselves is the master, it leads to so much exploitation in the world. And another reason for this, for us being here, is actually for us to be rectified and to go back to the spiritual world. Because if one has to go back in the spiritual world, one has to be the servant. So the material world is created so that one can rectify oneself and actually go back to the spiritual world. So in this verse is a very nice description of how the jiva is interacting with the modes of material nature. So we understand, like from the Gita, like, that Prakriti and the jiva are beginningless. Yeah. Krishna says that these two are my energies. One is the superior and one is the inferior energy. So Prakriti is the inferior and Jiva is the superior energy. And both of them are beginningless. But in the material world, both of them are working together. So the nature of the inferior energy is that it is enjoyed. It is enjoyed by the Jiva, by the superior entity, the Jiva. And you know, Krishna says that this superior energy of mine is exploiting the resources of this inferior material nature. So the inferior nature is exploited by the Jiva. So we can understand that actually our body is made up of senses. The body is actually effectively senses, you know, the body is the senses. And the senses are made up according to the particular modes of nature the living entity is in contact with. It is like, you know, one can choose, like, you know, the living entity chooses which modes to associate with. And once he associates with certain modes of nature, he acquires a certain mentality, a certain body. And then he's forced to act in that manner. Just like, for example, a jiva, living entity, gets the body of a dog. And then he has to act in that certain way, you know, a dog has to act. A dog can't come and start, you know, speaking Sanskrit shlokas or start speaking English. No. A dog has to bark. You know, a dog will wag its tail and, you know, run here and there. Whatever the activities it is. Or like a hog will eat stool. You know, Prabhupada will often say, you can't give a hog halwa to eat. Because that is against his nature. So, the nature we acquire according to the modes, then we are forced to act in a certain way. And also that brings in the point of doership, as it mentions in the purport here. That who is the ultimate doer? Sometimes people think, because when one is acting, it seems everything is done by the senses. You know, that it's like sometimes people say, okay, you know, whatever good is happening, like something bad happens, and say, you know, it is because of God is in control of everything, so it is all His fault. You know, something bad has happened to me, you know, everything is happening by the will of God, so it is His fault. So, you know, then the doership comes on God. But if you do something good, then we are the doer. You know, if something successful has happened, then we are the doer. But actually it is like Devaki Nandan Prabhu gave this very nice example of say somebody takes a taxi and goes to the airport, then he reaches the airport, then taxi driver asks for the fare, then he doesn't pay. He says, actually you brought me here. You know, so you are the doer, you brought me here. But actually it is the you know, passenger who decided to go to the airport. So he has to pay the price. So anything we do in this world, there have to be various rules. But like the living entity in one sense is the ultimate rule. Because of the desire, all activities are carried out. Just like, for example, if you want to cut vegetables, all they have to do is simply desire. And the modes of nature actually carry out the work. And actually the work is sanctioned by Krishna sitting as Paramatma within the heart. So once Krishna sanctions the work, then you can, you know, lift your hand, pick up the knife, cut the vegetable. So that is all done by the modes of nature. But it is... And obviously the sanction of the Supreme Lord is very, very important. That's why I said, without the sanction of the Lord, even a blade of grass cannot move. So for anything to happen in this world, the sanction of the Lord is required. But sometimes people misunderstand this statement. They say, without the sanction of the Lord, a blade of grass cannot grow. So that means whatever bad is happening in this world, that is all the Lord's fault, because His sanction is required. But they do not understand that that actually it is the desire of the living entity. It is actually the desire of the living entity to come into the material world in the first place. And then, as a result, he gets a certain body and is influenced by that particular mode of nature, and that influences more activities. And as a result, he creates more activities, gets different reactions, and so on and so forth. It is like, for example, if one desires to, like, you know, you can, like, you can go to, like, here the rivers don't have much current in them, like the Yara River. But, like, say, if you go in the Ganges, or, you know, there's so many some big rivers in India, if you go there, like, if one jumps in the river, then naturally the river will, you know, carry him away by the force of the current. So it is like when one jumps in the material realm, then the modes of nature, they just carry one from here to there. So then one has no control, actually, practically speaking. Because it's the modes of nature which are doing everything. So, but because one desires to be in the material world, then the modes of nature, they carry one from here to there. So the example of the river is quite appropriate. It is simply because of the desire to go in that. You know, then if you hit a rock, or you hit a wooden log, or this or that, you know. But the question is, you know, why did we jump in it? Like even in Mayapur, the Ganges, the current is very, very strong. You have to be very careful when you enter it. If you go a bit deep, it can just simply sweep you away. So actually all the happiness and distress of this world is actually creation of Prakriti. You know, it's mentioned in the Gita that that the Prakriti is the cause and the living entity is simply the enjoyer or the sufferer of the cause. So the Prakriti creates this material body, you know. The Prakriti is the cause in the sense, the Prakriti creates the senses, and through the senses create different perceptions of happiness and distress, and the living entity experiences them. And how it is described, how the living entity experiences this, is by the different types of bodies it gets. And that's why it's mentioning how the fruitive activities, the last sentence, the living entity being fully engaged with the material senses, experiences the various results of fruitive work. So due to fruitive work, sometimes the living entity is elevated, you know, to very higher life forms. So sometimes the living entity gets the body of a devta. So the senses of the devta, they produce certain happiness and distress. So then the living entity is forced to enjoy them, enjoy or suffer them. Or sometimes the living entity, you know, takes the body of a worm, or a hog, or, you know, or sometimes it's in the middle planetary system, takes the body of a human being. So then the perceptions of happiness and distress it experiences are according to that particular body. And actually, even the so-called enjoyment in this world is actually not enjoyment, it is actually suffering. You know, we say there's enjoyment and suffering, but the so-called enjoyment is also suffering, because there is repeated birth, death, old age and disease. So how can we actually enjoy something when we've got these four limitations? It's like once I was talking to someone on the street and I was showing him the Bhagavad Gita, and he opened the book and he saw this verse where it says you know, there is enjoyment and suffering. So then I was explaining how everything is even the enjoyment is suffering, and he couldn't understand it, because I told him there is birth, death, old age and disease. So there are these four limitations which because how can one truly enjoy if there is constant disease, you know, old age, death, birth, again and again. It's like you get the flu again and again, so many times, in different bodies. So how can one truly enjoy? The happiness is just the gap between two sufferings. And even like sometimes the hog thinks it's enjoying. Because the hog who is eating stool, he thinks it's enjoying. But we in the body of a human being, we know he's not really enjoying. You know, he's actually suffering. And even once Indra, he was cursed to become a hog. So then, you know, he took the body of a hog, and he had so many children, and he's, you know, lying down in the stool, and he was in ecstasy. You know, he took that to his home, and simply he's enjoying it with his kids, you know, wife, everyone very happy. And then because Indra was not in his position, so they needed somebody, you know, there, because they felt his absence. So then Brahma came down and he said, Indra, we need you back in your heavenly planets. You know. But he said, you know, I'm the hog, I'm just simply enjoying here. You know. I've got my children, you know, life is good. But actually from a higher perspective, he was not enjoying. You know, Brahma could see he was not enjoying. So as the previous verse also described, that Brahma who lives for 311,040,000,000 years, you know, for us that might seem to be pretty good. And the previous verses also explain how life in the heavenly planets is very enjoyable. It was quite funny when Antanil Prabhu was reading the verse and he said, it's pretty good. Because so it describes how, you know, one is flying on an aeroplane with beautiful women, and you know, he has a beautiful body and lasts for so long. There's so many kinds of different kinds of enjoyment. But actually, in the ultimate sense, there that enjoyment is also not enjoyment, because it is temporary. So though the lifetime of Brahma is so big, 311,040,000,000,000 years, that is also temporary. And even on the planet of Brahma, there is fear. You know, actually on the higher planets, you know, one doesn't get, there's no old age and disease. You know, one simply dies. So when the pious spirit credits are exhausted, one, by the influence of time, the living entity falls down in his body. It is described, the living entity falls down in his body. And as he's falling down, he's going in the lower planetary systems. The yakshas, and all of them, they see the living entity coming down. And they see, okay, there's a food over there. That's food for us. So they actually, then they start devouring the demigod. And because of the pain experience and the tears come out, so the jiva, he actually quits the body through the tears. And then the tears, they fall to the earth in the form of rain. This is described in the Chandogya Upanishad. That the jiva then falls to the earth in the form of rain. And then that rain, it is transformed into grain. And that grain is eaten by man. And then it is turned into semen. And then a child is produced. So then again, the fruitive activity cycle again continues. So in this way, he's actually experiencing again repeated birth and death, you know, constantly. And we see though the lifetime of Brahma is so huge, you know, it is practically inconceivable for us. And but still, that is also temporary. Actually, for Brahma, his 100 years go very quick, like this. Like our 100 years go very quick, pass very quick. For us, it seems very long. And as you know, when Brahma sleeps. After 1,000 yuga cycles, his all the planetary systems below Brahma Loka, they all get devastated. And when he wakes up again, they're created, and all the living entities, according to the previous karma, they again start their activities. So this happens again and again and again, till Brahma lives his 100 years. You know, you can imagine how many times we are going through this, you know, repeated birth and death. How many times? After his 1 day, this happens. And within that 1 day, we are changing so many bodies. And then, you know, it's actually for the jiva who is active by nature to be merged in the body of Brahma is a very unpleasant experience. You know, where you know, there's practically nothing to do. It's like an unmanifest state. And then when Brahma dies, this whole universe is dissolved. And then we are lying in the body of Mahavishnu. And then when he breathes out, another universe comes out, then the jiva is again in jitu. So actually the so-called enjoyment in this material is not enjoyment. Because it is temporary and it is, there's the four limitations. So therefore the mission of the human life is to come out of this samsara chakra. And as it's described in the purport, that due to false ego, the jiva is considering itself to be the doer of activities. So, in one sense, the ultimate doer is us, but in another sense, the ultimate doer is Krishna, is the Paramatma. He's actually sanctioning activities. So if we want to escape this, you know, disturbing external energy, one has to again be enjoyed by Krishna. One has to make Krishna the enjoyer of, you know, one has to make Krishna the enjoyer. Then one can actually come out of this disturbing cycle of birth and death. So again, that comes to the point of desire. Because of desire, we are in the material world, and because of desire, we can go out. So if we desire to jump in the spiritual river, so then, you know, we'll be swept away. So, you know, just like sometimes we make the choice to come in devotional service. So then we are swept over by devotional activities, you know, by service and so many activities, because in an active devotional community there will be so many activities. Like in a very active devotional community like Melbourne, if one takes a devotional service, like, you know, time flies like anything. Like 2-3 years, you know, one doesn't know how time goes so quickly. Because one has made that choice, one has made that conscious desire that he wants to serve Krishna. Then, you know, he's swept away. So, you know, the festival of harmony, this, that, something on your retreats, you know, so many different activities, one is swept away. So one simply has the desire to serve Krishna. Then Krishna makes all the different arrangements. So if one desires to be the enjoyer, then in the material world there are also so many different activities for the soul. So it is all what we desire about. It's all desire management. And actually, this desire is cultivated in the association of devotees. As a couple of verses before was mentioned, that simply by association one can also cultivate certain desires. You know? So association means to take the values and realization. So if we associate with devotees and stay in a devotional atmosphere, naturally the desire to serve Krishna will come, because, you know, we'll be pushed. You know, sometimes if we don't have a desire, others will try to put this desire in us to serve Krishna. Because by coming to classes, by chanting, by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, the desire naturally begins to awaken to serve Krishna. So are there any questions, comments? Krishna Shiva Bhagavatam ki.